Good morning. God bless you. If you guys want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Thank you, Kathy and Tom, for inviting me to teach at this weekend and being a part of it in this way. I echo Katie. It's terrifying, but in a good way. I wanted to start in Acts 1 because sometimes when I look at this verse, I forget that it says that whoever believes in me will also do the works, that applies to anyone else except me, and I get tunnel vision, like, oh my God, it's all on me. And I wanted to just kind of take a couple of minutes and think about how there's more than just you, but that it does also speak to you. And in Acts 1, this is when, after Jesus Christ had been resurrected, and he's showing himself, actually we'll just read it, verse 3, I'm going to be trying to read out of the NIV 2011. I have a parallel. It's been known to happen that people go back and forth, but my intention is to read out of the NIV. So in Acts 1, verse 3, it says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Just to kind of take a pause, Katie had mentioned that these signs accompany the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel is so important. And Jesus Christ is still working at this point with his own disciples and apostles to believe. And it's like, oh, maybe that's why signs are so important, because we need them, because we're people, and we need something to help us get over that hump. So maybe something to consider. So it says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's given this information, and it says, you've heard me talk about this before. And you can go back to John, the Gospel of John, 13 to 17, if you want to read those. Not only had they heard about it, but they've also experienced some of the working of the Spirit. You read it like in Luke, they were sent out to go and cast out spirits. They were sent out to go heal people. So some of this they've already experienced, they've already seen. But they're being told right now, you've heard about it from me, but I want you to go wait, and then you're going to receive this promise. And then their response is, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And what a wonderful response, because they're people, right? We're learning, hey, you guys have the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit. We can do things. Great. When is Jesus coming? Because they don't want Can we just jump ahead? Well, no, no. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, what a calling, right? It's over here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And, you know, if you just go back to John 20, 21, after Jesus Christ had been risen from the dead, he makes himself known. Like we just read in Acts, you don't have to turn to 20 and 21. I'm just going to reference it. But they were still doubting. You might think, well, I can't. I have doubts, Claire. You don't understand. No, I do, because you're a person, and everybody has that. And even Jesus Christ's own apostles had some hesitations, had some questions. And you read in John 20, Jesus Christ is alive at this point. He's already shown himself to some of his disciples. He shows up in a room. Thomas wasn't there, so he didn't see it. So if I didn't see it, it didn't happen, right? That was his view, like, well, I don't know, it didn't happen to me. I don't know if I believe that. And then Jesus Christ graciously shows up and goes, Thomas, here, go ahead, touch me if you want. And then he says, you know, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So Jesus Christ is working with them, right? He didn't just give up, but he worked with Thomas. He's going to work with us. It's an encouragement. We may not see the Lord Jesus Christ until he ascends from heaven in the clouds. Can we still believe him? Can we still trust in him? Will he still work in you in a way that's going to help you? In John 21, Another time he appears to his apostles before he ascends is he's fishing. And I guess, why don't we go ahead and turn to John chapter 21. It's not that far back. We'll start in verse 4. And again, this is after Jesus had died and was resurrected, and he's just showing up, encouraging them. And it says in verse 4, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, had they seen Jesus after he was resurrected before this point? Yes. So at this time, but they're like, who is that man on the shore? And he's just calling out, friends, do you have any fish? And they still don't know it's him, right? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment, jumped, you know, we know the story, I think. He jumped off and went to go be with Jesus, right? Because once you know it's him, you're like, yes, I'm going to go. But I'm taking this time to go here that you're not the only one who has hesitations. You know, this, it's not only to you, it's to all of us. And if you think you have something insurmountable, that's not true, okay? These were pretty, like, these were big deals. Like, well, I'm not going to believe unless I see Jesus. Or if you keep reading with Peter and Jesus Christ, he's like, you know, Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, do you love me? And I think that sometimes that could be our stumbling block. You know, we're talking about roadblocks, stumbling blocks, maybe hurdles that we're trying to get out of the way to want to do these things. And I think Jesus brings up this point for a very good reason. Do I love Jesus? If I love Jesus, I'm gonna want to at least follow him. Because that's after Peter says, yes, I do love you, he says, follow me. Like, let's get that settled in our hearts. Do I love Jesus? Yes, I do. One step has been crossed. The next step is, can I follow him? Yes, I can. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. If you keep reading in Acts chapter 1, actually, let's go to Acts chapter 1 because he says, oh, we already read it. He wanted them in verse 4, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father that was promised. And so they had one thing to do, right? They needed to wait. They took that step of obedience of there's something that's going to come, but I need you to go to Jerusalem and wait for it. And in chapter 2, you find that they did take that step. They were in Jerusalem, and they did what Jesus said, which was just go there and wait. And so this amazing thing happens. What was promised came into fruition. The Spirit was promised, and then they received it. We'll go ahead and read the verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. As far as I can tell, they weren't told, go wait at Jerusalem. When you receive the Spirit of God, you're going to start speaking in tongues. After you speak in tongues, Peter, I need you to stand up and then you're going to explain what happened. I mean, in any of this preparation that they got, they weren't told that. What they were told, though, was, I need you to go and you're going to receive the Spirit. What happened is they obeyed. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They received the Holy Spirit. A sign of that confirmation, that assurance that they did what they were supposed to do, is then something came out of their mouths. They spoke in tongues. That accompanied obedience. They heard, they did what Jesus said, and then they received that. And then, lo and behold, more knowledge is imparted to Peter. If we skip down to verse 14, he is able to explain this. Jesus is not there explaining it to the crowd, but Peter, who spoke in tongues, probably wasn't told, hey, you're going to speak in tongues. But he did, and then he stands up. And actually, let's go to verse 16. It says, and this is Peter, he addresses the crowd. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Peter, he just did what he took his step of obedience. He did it. He spoke in tongues. He received more information and he explained, hey guys, you want to know what's happening here? We're not just having a party. It's a little early for it. But in fact, this is what was spoken of by God a long time ago. This is the spirit that God had promised ages ago, and now it's into fruition. And not only are you going to see this, you're going to see dreams, you're going to see visions. And guess what? It's not just going to be on me. It's not just going to be on the people with me. It's going to be to men. It's going to be to women. It's going to be to old people. It's going to be to young people. It's going to be to servants. It's going to be to everybody. This spirit that you see us, and you know we have it because we're doing something pretty supernatural, is available to everybody. And not only is it available to everybody, but look at verse 21. It says, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a revelation. It's that, you know, these signs accompany the preaching of the gospel. God wants all to be saved, right? He wants all to come into a knowledge of the truth. That's God's heart. That's God's desire, is salvation. And with this salvation, we have received something that helps us and it helps others. Let's go to, if you want to keep reading in chapter 2 to see what this good news in the gospel is about how to be saved, I think you guys are all familiar with it, so I'm not going to read it. But just remembering, like, going back, like, do I love Jesus? Do I want to follow him? When we contemplate what the gospel is, that I'm nobody on my own, and that Jesus, God saw that and sent his son for me so that I could be somebody, so I could belong to him. That's going to help me love, right? That's going to help me follow. Another thing that I didn't reference back there is that Peter also, in John 21, he sees another disciple that Jesus loves. And he goes, well, what about that person? Like, what are they going to do? And I think that's also sometimes a hiccup for us. God's, like we had heard earlier in the beginning teaching with Katie, there's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, different stuff happens, right? Different operations, different gifts, different ministries. So I see something cool happening over there. And, well, God, I want to, what about that? Can I go be a part of that? He's like, Jesus' response to Peter in John 21 was, I'm working there, but I'm going to work with you. You follow me. Don't follow things that are happening. We keep our eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Maybe you'll have something cool happening that people will be like, what's going on over there? You might want to be a part of that. And you can tell them, no, you do what your Lord wants you to do, right? That's what sometimes another hurdle is just, well, I'm not that person. I'm not Katie. I'm not Bridget. I can't do X, Y, Z. Well, as we were already told, you can't say I can't because God has put a spirit within us. But you know what? You might not be called to do what they're doing, right? You might not be called to do what they're doing. But you are called to live for Jesus Christ and for your Lord. But in case you don't know, because I didn't make it very clear, we're going to look at speaking in tongues, interpretation, and prophecy this morning. So let's keep looking at speaking in tongues. Why don't we go to Acts chapter 11? Yep, I forgot. At the end of Acts chapter 2, I am going to go back and read this verse because I think it's important. Because sometimes we'll get the tunnel vision, it's only me, it's only me. And then at other times we'll get, it's only them, it's only them, I don't need to do any of that, right? And I gotcha, I know that one. It says at the end of Acts 2, while Peter is explaining what they were doing, and that, yes, the Spirit's available for all, and then he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and then the people hear it in verse 37, you know, the recipients, and they go, they're cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? It's like, okay, we see what you're doing. You're speaking in tongues. You're giving us words of wisdom. You're giving us words of knowledge. What do we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's all that are called. And you will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. That is a promise of God. Do you believe God? Do you believe that when he promises something to you that he's going to fulfill it? Or is this for somebody else? This is for you. You will receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And Acts 11, we'll go back there now. Thank you. And we're just going to read two verses, 14 and 15. But the context, Katie had also referenced this in her teaching about Cornelius and being a Gentile who had received salvation. And this man, Cornelius, is very cool because he's not of Jewish background or descent, and yet he's a man who does fear God. And he's actively looking to want to serve God, and he's limited. And so he's praying, and God is aware of this man. God is aware of this man, and he's going to send someone, gives these crazy visions to a man that does know him, to Peter, and takes all this time to take care of this one group of people. Like, that's how our God works. He loves. He knows that somebody needs something. He might work in you to go take care of that because God loves. He wants to take care of people. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to come into a knowledge of the truth. And you're a part of being able to deliver that. You know, you've been equipped to do so. And in chapter 11, so this is, we'll just read 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby, so this is what was told Cornelius, go ask for this guy named Peter. He's going to, and then verse 14, it says, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. Cornelius was seeking to be saved. He was seeking to fear God. He received a message, and then in verse 15 it says, as Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them. How does the Holy Spirit come on someone? What does the recipient have to do to receive Holy Spirit? Believe. So if you go back to chapter 10, you're going to see that Peter was preaching the gospel, the good news, telling them who Jesus Christ was, what he did for them. And as he's talking, it says the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. And then go back to chapter 10, verse 34. We'll read a little bit more detail. And just to make a point, Cornelius didn't say, I want to speak in tongues. He said, I want to know what God has for me. And then as a result, though, he did speak in tongues because it accompanies believing the gospel. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. This is Peter speaking to Cornelius and his household. you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That was the message that Peter spoke, was the gospel. You believe on Jesus, you receive salvation. And then guess what happened? While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. They weren't lusting to speak in tongues. They were lusting to know what God's message was. They received salvation, and as a confirmation of believing that message, receiving the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. That was a sign, and it was one that couldn't be refuted. If you continue into chapter 11, Peter is explaining to the council in Jerusalem, hey, because they're like, wait a minute, Gentiles, I don't think they can get saved. Salvation's not really for everybody. And he goes, well, I mean, they did speak in tongues. So, and they were like, oh, that was a sign of something that was inside of them. As we were learning, the Spirit is something that we receive, and it does a lot of different things. One of the things that it does is it assures you. It assures you by the fact that you can speak in tongues. You can speak in tongues, and it's like, okay, yep, I do have the Spirit of God. I am saved. I am a spiritual being. I am loved by God. Go to Acts chapter 19. But Claire, not everybody that's saved speaks in tongues. Very aware of that. Do you have to speak in tongues to be saved? Okay, what do you have to be saved? Believe the gospel. However, God intended you, or did you receive the Spirit when you got born again, when you were saved? You sure did. And you know what? God intends you to evidence the Spirit inside of you. He didn't just give you a gift and then just say, lock it up, but you know, he wants the rivers to be pouring out of you. And one of those ways, one of those showing forth is tongues, speaking in tongues. And we're going to look in a little bit about what it does. But even at the time of the apostles here, people would receive salvation and not speak in tongues. And they didn't say, hey, no big deal. You know what they did? They got help. And then they, so that they could, because it's not meant to be a badge of honor. It's meant to be an assurance for you. This is something that God wants for you. It's meant to bless you. And we'll see that it can take care of you. It can edify you. In Acts 19, verse 1, it says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, okay, so Paul's going about doing some things, and he finds disciples. And he says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Apparently, this was not an uncommon question, right? Like, why would you ask such a thing? Of course they received the Holy Spirit when they believed. Do you ever find yourself speaking to someone and you find out, oh, they're a Christian, a fellow believer? And then you start talking about the Spirit, and it's like, what are you talking about? Like, I've never heard of that before. It wasn't even uncommon at this time. So don't be shocked that, well, no, I mean, we all know you get born again, you get saved, you get the Spirit, you speak in tongues. No, we don't all know that. That's why that's part of what we get to do. We get to share this information. And Paul is going about, and he knows, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Okay, well, all right, I'll go to the next group then. Thank God he didn't. I bet those people were really happy he didn't do that, right? And so Paul asked. And the other thing I want to just point out is, like, Paul didn't know everything, right? He's just having a conversation. And as he's having this conversation, things are being brought to light. And he's equipped to continue to help them. And so Paul asked, well, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Okay. Verse 4, Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. You know, maybe a personal experience, but I've run into people that are God-fearing, but they're not fearing the God of Jesus Christ because they don't know about Jesus Christ. It's like, that's good that you fear God. Let's move on to Jesus Christ because he's the one that God sent Jesus for you. And so rather than be like, oh, but they don't know. Yeah, they don't know because they haven't heard yet in some cases. And so we don't need to shy away from that. It's like, okay, John's baptism, great. You know what? He pointed to Jesus. And this is the Jesus that you need to believe on. And on hearing this in verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. And the point of going to these records is that it's just a normal thing. This is just normal. You hear the message of salvation. You believe that message. You receive Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues. It's not something that we have to wait to attain for. It's just part of what we have. It's who we are. It's something we can do. And in this record, you know, they were having trouble with that. They didn't even understand that there was a Spirit. And you know what? They got help. And it's not shameful, as we know, hopefully, and are beginning to believe and understand. It's not shameful to ask for help or to acknowledge, yes, I believe I have the Spirit, but I don't do that. Can you help me? What is that? I just need a little push. And you know what? You'll get the little push. And in fact, in Corinth, if you guys want to turn to 1 Corinthians, I think just turn in the general area of 12 through 14, and we'll see where we land up. But when you realize you need help, and then you ask for help, you need to believe that you'll receive that help. If you just stop at, yeah, I'm not very good at that. I do need help. Will you help me? No, don't actually help me. Or do you expect to receive? Do you actually believe that God loves you? Do you actually believe that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Because you know what? They want to help you. You've been placed in a body. We want to help you. I want to be helped. I know people want to help me. And whenever I actually open my mouth, be like, hey, what do you think about this? Lo and behold, I get an answer. It's amazing. But I have to humble myself and ask for it and then expect that I'll receive help. And in Corinth, they're told, how about, let's read 14:13. They were having as you can tell, when you read these chapters, the Corinthians liked speaking in tongues. And we're going to find out why they liked it so much. But they really liked it. They liked it so much that if they were in like a meeting like this, it's like, hey, let's just all speak in tongues out loud and have a ball. And it was like, well, that's cool because you know what? We're going to find some things that speaking in tongues is good for. But one thing it's not helpful for is, like, I have no idea what you're saying when you speak in tongues. It has no, like, I don't get encouraged because there's no message. Like, I'm not instructed when you speak in tongues. It's this foreign language. And you're like, great. Why are we all doing this? Just, you know, right? That's kind of that's what's being highlighted in this area because that's what they like to do. They like to speak in tongues. But they didn't like to so much interpret the tongues. They didn't so much like to prophesy. And so Paul said, just stop, stop. No, he didn't. You know what he did? He said in verse 13, well, let's go back to verse 12. So it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer, I can't say that word, doesn't matter, say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. Verse 18, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. So they were having trouble interpreting. Does anybody have trouble interpreting in here? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. And they were told, well, just stop speaking in tongues then. Stop trying to do anything with the Spirit. No, they were told, pray. Pray. Pray about it. Oh, I can pray about it. I do. I have trouble sometimes. Oh, I'll pray. What a simple solution, right? Is that a huge, like, momentous task that we're being asked to do? It might feel like it if we don't humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and forget that he's a mighty help and a deliverer for us. But we can just pray if we're having a hard time. And I'm just looking at the time. It's 11:54. I see that. So if you're having a hard time, rather than sit around feeling sorry for yourself or saying, well, I'm just never going to do it then, just ask. Ask for help and pray. I'm going to just reference some things about speaking in tongues. And why would these people just pray or speak in tongues so much? And why did Paul say he was thankful to speak in tongues a lot? You can go back and read these, but we read one of them in 14:14 and 15. Speaking in tongues is a type of prayer. It says, I will pray in the Spirit. I don't know what to pray for sometimes. Sometimes I'm in situations and just weird stuff is happening. I can speak in tongues. I can pray. I don't know what to pray for, but I can speak in tongues and my spirit can pray. And that's doing something. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says it's a language of men and of angels. I might be speaking in language of angels when I speak in tongues. I don't know, because as you read 1 Corinthians 14, you don't actually understand the language that you're speaking when you speak in tongues. It could be of men, it could be of angels. I don't know. It's kind of cool to think about. It's supernatural. It also says that it can edify you when you speak in tongues. And I thought about this, because sometimes, like, I like to speak in tongues a lot. And sometimes I just speak in tongues, but I don't do it consciously with faith. And you know what? It really doesn't help me during those times. But when I remember I can only speak in tongues because I'm a supernatural spiritual being, that helps me. I'm assured. It builds me up. I'm like, oh, right, this is something unusual. this is amazing. Not everybody can do this. You have to have the Spirit, and it leads me back. It guides me back. How did I get the Spirit? Oh, by believing on Jesus. I do love Jesus. I do want to follow Jesus. It's one of those things. Like, how does it help you? That's one way it can help you. It can build you up. When it's accompanied with an interpretation, it strengthens the church because we're receiving a message from God for the people here. And it's also a sign for unbelievers. There's a prophet when you speak in tongues by yourself, and there's a prophet when you do it for the church. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to wrap this up. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it talks about prophecy. And it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. As you read 1 Corinthians 14, you see that God cares about the church. And something that he set in the church is speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophecy. Because if you keep reading, it says, you guys probably know where I'm going and could read it to me. Verse 3, actually. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. God wants us to be strengthened. God wants us to be encouraged. God wants us to be, what was the last one? Comforted. And you know what he set in the church for us to do that? These messages. And so if I'm having a hard time going into a meeting, I don't want to manifest. I don't want to prophesy. It might be because you're thinking about you, right? Rather than the people in the room. Wait, God loves these people. He wants them to receive from him. And he set it for me. Sorry, I keep like wiping my nose. He set me, lowly me, who like has snot pouring on my face. I could actually speak for God. I can do something supernatural that will help you. And why wouldn't I do that? Because I don't feel like it? Because I don't even know. There's so many different reasons that come up in our crazy brains. Just like, no. I love God. I love Jesus. I am going to follow him today. And if he wants me to bring forth a message that's going to help you, why wouldn't I do that? Those might be some of the roadblocks. I go into a meeting, I'm too frightened to do it. Okay, well, stop thinking about you. Remember that you're saved. You've received salvation. You've received the Holy Spirit. And this is a part of something that we can do on our own and in the church for each other. All right, thank you.